Hi everyone, I'm Yaslyn Gonzalez. I just started my master's this fall at the University of Florida in the Soil and Water Science Department under my advisor, Dr. Bacon and Willie Harris. So first I want to talk to you about why soil carbon matters. Soil is the largest terrestrial pool of carbon in the biosphere. And at a local scale, we think about how soil carbon can improve nutrient and water retention, cation exchange capacity, structure, soil health. And at a larger scale, we think about how can soil sequester carbon. And this is becoming an increasingly important area of research because of the implications of elevated atmospheric CO2 levels. And so policymakers, land managers, earth scientists, we want to know where is carbon, where is it moving, how much is out there, because we want to better manage and forecast Earth's carbon cycle. And so let me tell you about the region that my meta-analysis is based off of. This is the southeastern U.S. coastal plain. It's a depositional landform, and it's marked by ancient shoreline features that formed over millions of years during periods of rising and falling sea levels. And you can see this history in this map that I created. This map is composed of scarps, ridges, swales, which have been previously published by other authors, mostly Winker and Howard. And I compiled all of these, digitized them, and used it for my geospatial analysis. And it's important to keep in mind that these shoreline features are a major geomorphic feature in this region. And also, only the coarsest materials get deposited here. Because as you see in this contemporary shoreline, high energy deposition is occurring. It's bringing in coarse sands. And that's really different from what's occurring inland, where we see low energy deposition, which allows for silts and clays to settle out. So what soil carbon pool are we looking at? If you know about spodosols, you know that the BH horizon is characterized by an accumulation of alluvial organic matter. And we know a lot about the BH horizon. It's well studied, but we don't know a lot about the B prime H. And the prime symbol indicates that there's a reoccurrence of an identical horizon deeper in the profile. And to date, we don't have any estimates that are published on carbon contents, so we really don't know what it's contributing regionally to carbon budgets. But as you can see from this picture, this is a massive pool of carbon, way larger than the BH horizon, which we know already to be a huge pool of carbon. And also keep in mind for later that it's occurring below 2 meters. So my PEDON database is based off of NCSS data. So how we did this, we got all the spodosol data in Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida, and we subset it to only include those which have a B prime H. And if it didn't have a B prime H, but it had the reoccurrence of a BH horizon after an E prime horizon, then we included that in here. And with that, we were able to make average estimates of percent carbon, bulk density, thickness, and carbon content. And if you look at concentration, the B prime H doesn't seem to have a huge percent of carbon, but when you look at carbon contents on a megagram per hectare basis, you can see that it has more carbon on a per hectare basis than any other mineral horizon. So that's about 70 megagrams per hectare, which is the same as histosols in permafrost soils. So on a per hectare basis, this one pool of carbon has as much carbon as the upper meter of permafrost soils. And this is a huge underestimate because we don't really know the true thickness of this horizon because NCSS data stops at 2 meters and it can continue further. And also, as you saw in the previous picture, it can show up deeper in the soil. And so we don't know what the thickness is of this horizon, and that's really what's driving the carbon content. And so how did this horizon form? Well, people have said that it formed as a result of burial and deposition, because after all, that's the depositional history of Florida. and this region. However, our evidence suggests that it actually formed as a result of pedogenic translocation and carbon alluviation. And the data that we used is we looked at sand size distribution of each horizon in 53 profiles, and we saw that it was consistent throughout the entire profile. So it was virtually indistinguishable. Also, sodium pyrophosphate extractable carbon is about 70% of total carbon in the BH and the B'H. And this is significant because the A horizon and the BH horizon can be distinguished by the relative amount of total carbon that is pyrophosphate extractable. And it's about 25% in the A horizon, where less carbon is metal associated. And so the fact that the BH and the B'H have the same signature implies that there's the same mechanisms of formation occurring. And so we stacked the pedons against the shorelines, and we saw that they occur in close association with each other. So approximately all of them occur within 40 kilometers. And since most of the pedon data is in Florida, just we have a really comprehensive soil survey, we looked at soil map units as well, and we saw the same relationship. And so this B'H Sergo map units, it's made up of 16 soil series, which have been recorded as potentially containing a B'H based on soil series descriptions. And we see that in sort of like the central part of Florida, it's not, the relationship isn't as strong, but that probably has a lot to do with Florida's geomorphology. The Floridian aquifer is unconfined here. The clay layer under our soils, the Hawthorne Formation, is not continuous, and so karst topography has an even larger effect on the landscape. Nonetheless, when you look at the map units close up, the relationship is very evident. And not only is it evident, it's unique, because when you look at all other spodosols, you look at alphasols, oldosols, they don't have the same probability of occurring within a certain distance of these shoreline features. And we looked at quartzy salmons because quartzy salmons tend to occur around spodosols. This could be that maybe they have a spodic horizon below 2 meters that we're just not accounting for. And so we also wanted to account for this series. And we wanted to look at the extent, and we know there's a lot of error associated with this, but these are first-order estimates, and we went from having like no idea how much carbon was in here to now knowing that there's hundreds of millions of megagrams of carbon out here. And again, these are underestimates because the data only goes up to 2 meters. And so how we did this, we looked at spodosol Sergo map units. We added quartzy salmons there. We also tried putting buffer sizes around these shorelines because they occur in close proximity. And these are the values that we got from that. And to summarize, this B'H horizon is a huge pool of carbon. It warrants further investigation if we are to understand the regional distribution and extent of this pool of carbon and the dynamics of this pool of carbon. And that's really what I want to do next, because like I said, I just started this August, and so the next pursuits are to actually go to the field and sample below 2 meters, get a average estimate of thickness, at least in Florida, because that's where I'm at, and really characterize these soils. And another thing I want to look at is the hydrologic regimes of these two horizons, because we know that the BH is influenced by, you know, a higher water table. But the B'H doesn't exactly follow topography when we look at a whole area mapped out if you look at transects. And so we kind of have this hypothesis that it's this continuous unit, and there's a deeper hydrologic regime that's influencing this formation. And so the next steps are really to look at the microbial community, see maybe if that's an indicator of hydrology. And how much? I'm good?
5 minutes, you're good.
Wow, I'm so fast. You're welcome.
Questions for Yasmin?
Yeah. Yeah.
By definition, that carbon is complex with aluminum and iron, with a can at times. And it's also saturated often. Does that nature of that portion of the carbon budget, being that it's not the surface, it's not an simple breathing zone, is that a different subset of the carbon pool?
We'll look into that. We've actually sampled below 350 centimeters, and we could go deeper because this horizon continues deeper. There's just a lot of water that comes up, and it sort of ruins the integrity of the sample. And so we're right now trying to figure out how we can do this to better study this horizon and really characterize the carbon in here. Thank you. Okay, right. We thought about using radio decay for understanding the hydrologic regime. We haven't really thought about it for burial. Let's see if we can go back. Because when we looked at the sand size distribution, the fact that it was the same throughout the entire profile and never changed, we thought that was like a good enough indicator that nothing different was being deposited here over time. But we could definitely look into that.
Question at the back, yes, sir.
The genesis of a spores horizon can follow different pathways. So we have Walgreen spore salt, primarily driven by acid leaching, which you have what they used to call groundwater deposits. So I'm curious whether you looked at the rising sea levels during the Holocene and how that matches the elevation.
Right. So the B prime H, we see how the color gets darker, deeper, and that's why it sort of indicates there's a groundwater influence. And we have not done that. That's a good idea. But these shorelines, they're actually pretty old. Okay, so let's say this, where is it? Right, so the one that's closest to the coast, that's from the late Pleistocene. And the middle one, these are sequences, is what Winker and Howard call them. The middle one's dated Pleistocene, and the further inland one is from the Miocene. And so what we've sort of thought is this horizon is not going to be older than the conception of these shorelines. They're going to be younger than that. And that's what we've been thinking about. But we haven't thought about doing that. This is my brand new research project. If you all have ideas, I'm definitely willing to listen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.